Yo, 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 what's the word?
What's going on?
I'm sorry, I was almost late listening to this new Kendrick drop.
Man, it's so good.
Yo, so good. This thing is just, you know what? I guess he got the message when everybody was like, nigga, you can't keep coming out every 7 years, and then we're supposed to care about you. He's like, all right. He's like, then I'm all up in your face from now on.
and coming in at the last quarter too.
Yeah, that nigga been ran the whole summer. Now dropping before the year ends. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
My friend was like, I bet you he come out with another album in February.
Yeah, he probably got like with the way he's rapping now.
Yeah,
you know, and after he done took over, everybody's like, okay. You're the top guy right now. You know, it's kind of hard for him to stop, you know?
I like it, though. It's a different feel. It definitely feels like L.A. and lots of contributions from older
rappers. Yeah, I was just listening to Reincarnated where he's rapping like Pac. I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, let's go. This is what I'm talking about. And I was just, when I saw the album came out, I was like, is this nigga turning into Tupac? Because this is getting crazy.
Listen, and I like the fact that he did the SWV one and the Luther Vandross one.
Yeah, the Luther Vandross was tough too.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was a great little surprise drop. I didn't know what happened because I was coming out of work and I heard the end of Squabble Up where he was killing that shit too. And I was like, oh, he must have just dropped a new single today. And then I went on Instagram and was like, yo, this dude Kendrick guy. I was like, oh, man, let me go on Apple. And there it was. What, he dropping like this afternoon or some shit?
Somebody sent it to me. Juice sent it to me in the group chat. And I was like, he dropped the album, and then I checked, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, it wasn't this morning, because I always check new music every Friday. I was like, he snuck and dropped it. But that's what a lot of them are doing. It. So now, Friday ain't even a thing no more, because Tyler, the Creator, went back. He dropped his shit on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, he's like, I dropped my shit the old school days, like when they used to do it back on Tuesday. I'm like, wow.
But that's the thing, though. There's no real good, interesting artist anymore to me. So I rather have a surprise album than an album that's been, like, over-promoted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think he's doing it right, too, because why would he need to promote an album? Like, you know who he is already, just dropping.
Nah. This nigga's about to do Super Bowl. He ain't got to promote shit. He's good. once they announced that, everybody and their mother was looking for him. Even people don't listen around. Who's this year's Super Bowl guy? Or this Kendrick Lamar thing? Now they're looking it up. Like, so he had to put a new album out before Super Bowl. But if he drops one, if he drops one in February, after, like right before Super Bowl or right after he does it, that's gonna be insane. Cause everybody knows you have to do. It's just like Usher, you have to do your Super Bowl push. And that's what he did, because remember, he put a brand new album out right before Super Bowl. Then after that, the whole summer, it was Usher's on tour. Yeah, Usher's here, Usher's there. And it just stopped now because they got to transition to the new artist. Who, like, you know, people got to give Jay-Z props for getting this position, because now he's in position to whoever he pushes to do the halftime show is going to make a shit ton of money for the next year of their life. You know what I mean? So... And he better not be pushing no country music stars until they stop being racist against black people.
I mean, if it's his wife.
Yeah, he can push her on, but, you know, he don't want to look like his favoritism right now, you know, but.
She didn't even get nominated.
Nah, they're happy about it. They're like, we want you to know your nigger ass ain't welcome here. Like, they're doing it intentionally.
Yeah. How was your week?
It was crazy. It was a week because the CEO was hustling us for sales because basically this is the last week of the month because next week ain't shit. So he was in our office all week. what you got? What you got for me? I was like, oh my God. And then all day today, I was like, yo, I'm so glad this fucking week's over, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He would not let up. So, yeah, I'm glad it's done. But, you know, how was yours?
My week was a little bit of last week in a mix and spending money and working. And now I got kid germs because I share my bed with the girls.
Spending money, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I would say spending money. But adulting things. Other than that, just life stuff. But anywho, you got any plans this weekend?
No. I gotta be light on spending because I'm doing Thanksgiving and I gotta buy the groceries and, you know, chill out. I just got a new TV. I told myself I was gonna do it for Black Friday, but I did it last weekend instead. I just got it on. They just delivered it Wednesday.
I mean, to the point where I don't feel like Black Friday is legit anymore because everybody's having a sale every week on something.
Yeah, so, they started the Black Friday sale at the beginning of the month, so I was like, I'm just gonna buy my TV now.
So whatever.
Yeah. I went to PC Richards, you know, they always try to give you a deal. So I got there and they gave me a deal I couldn't refuse. So I was like, well, looks like I might take this one.
My mother is supposed to be coming this.
Oh, nice.
On his birthday, and then I got to go shopping for Thanksgiving stuff.
Oh, so you hosted.
Girl, I'm going to see if I can convince her to cook.
I don't know. You're going to have to.
If I can convince her to cook some of it, then I won't feel so much pressure, but we'll see. We'll see. I took off Tuesday for Anya's birthday, so we shall see. I hope she doesn't miss too much. But anywho, it's an easy show. Unhealthy attachments versus healthy attachments. I think this is the perfect season for that because, I mean, you're going to have your infamous hobos, the people that stick around people because they have nowhere to be. The people that's on your couch, you can't get off your couch. Lingering people. So that's kind of like the focus today. I don't know. I feel like this is the season of people given the illusion of a relationship or the illusion of being better or the illusion of improving when they're not doing anything. And so I think a lot of people don't recognize it. They don't recognize when something's a good attachment versus a bad attachment. So that's kind of what I wanted to focus on. But your thing went out?
Yeah, I got a call.
Oh. All
right.
So yeah. Unhealthy attachments and healthy attachments is what I'm focusing on for tonight. I think it's easier to point out the unhealthy ones because they're obvious. They're annoying. Usually people who ain't got nothing to do, nothing going on. The emotional traps of people. People who are battling their own insecurities, putting on other people. People who need constant validation of what they got going on. People who lack boundaries with others, and that could be personally, that could be in business, that could be friendship wise. And some people don't recognize it, but I think an unhealthy attachment is people being too dependent on a person.
Yeah.
So like I think it's one thing to have a helpmate or have somebody that you can depend on if you cannot do it yourself. But it's a whole nother thing to act like you're just incapable of doing something for yourself, to lean on somebody.
Yeah, true.
You'll find that with, unfortunately, men and women, but I think more so women, because they look for someone who's doing better for themselves so they can kind of slack and lean on them. Or they play like a pity position in order to get sympathy from someone who doesn't have boundaries. And so there's certain things that you have to look for when it comes to, okay, am I attracted to this person because they're healthy and I'm healthy? Or am I attracted to this person because they remind me of somebody I grew up with? Or they remind me of somebody that needed me back in the day and I felt guilty, so I'm going to show up for this person. And a lot of people look for those loopholes in people if they watch them long enough, or if they maybe ask about their old experiences long enough, they look for, okay, then I'll do this, since they already know that somebody might do that. And you got to be able to peep that at a certain age. I think in your 20s, that's a perfect time to try people, try relationships and see if you mess up. But if you in your 30s falling for loopholes still, I think that's more of like a personal problem.
Are you falling for loopholes or are you choosing?
I mean, you have no choosing.
Yeah, I don't feel like people in their 30s are falling for shit. You know what you're doing at this point. That's like the women who, you know, date drug dealers and niggas that are cheating and abusive, being surprised that they're cheating and abusive to them when they get in a relationship.
Right.
Like, you can't be that stupid. You're not that fucking dumb. This is what you used to, and you do it so you can just be like, oh, well, you know, I have trust issues and all that. Whatever dumb excuse you're going to make up for putting yourself in a fucked up situation again. But that's, and nobody's beat for that.
Some people look for people who have issues so they can't point out their issues. You know what I'm saying? So you can't point fingers at me because you're also fucked up. And that's another thing too, because if you're not working on yourself to recognize, okay, this is my issue on my side, let me go into this not knowing what this other person's issue is. None of y'all have like a want or a motivation to be better because you're constantly pointing fingers. So it just becomes this victim on victim situation where it's like tit for tat all the time, and you're just not getting anywhere until somebody decides to quit.
Uh-huh.
But I just feel like that's a lot of that going on. People who are super jealous and they take that as a attractive thing in a person, like, oh, they really like me because they don't want me doing this, or they pop up here, or they call me 100 times if I don't answer type stuff. I think that's a sign of immaturity. That's a sign of, okay, maybe you have like an unhealthy attachment to the person. Or You spent so many years wanting people to stick around that you'll just hang on anything. That could be an unhealthy attachment. And you also have unhealthy attachments in friendships.
Uh-huh.
People who don't know how to graduate out of maybe a friendship you have from high school or a friendship you had in your 20s. And sometimes people assume maturity comes with age, but in men and women, I've seen that it doesn't. I've had friends with women in their 40s who, you know, because you weren't going to stick beside them and they're cheating, and you wanted to point out where they were wrong or make them accountable, and they're just like, well, I don't feel like you're a good friend because you should have my back. I'm the type of person where I'm going to have your back, but I'm going to also be able to point out if you're wrong.
Exactly.
And my thing is, like, if I can't point out where you're wrong, what's the point? So, I don't have a problem losing, quote unquote, friends that can't own their shit, because I wouldn't feel comfortable being a friend to somebody where I'm only a friend to you when everything's good. And I don't expect you to call out spaces where you feel like I need to improve, vice versa. So I've spent a lot of years with good people. And then once I saw that they had their limitations on where they wanted to grow and be better, that was also my limitation as their friend. I don't have anything bad to say about those people, but just to be able to recognize it and walk away and not make excuses of, oh, you know, that's how such and such is, or having friends, but also knowing the difference between, like, is this the friends that you could call up if you have, like, issues going on, or are these the friends that you only call if you want to go out for drinks? Or these the friends you only call if you want to do like a double date? I have a lot of women friends who they're cool with me, but I feel like they also know their limitations. Like, you can't call my phone and talk about foolery or shit that don't make sense, shit that don't add up. Like, if you saw your friend do dumb shit this week, last week, and the week before that, you can't call me and tell me about more things that they've done because I don't want to hear it. But I have friends that want to hear it every time. And so I just feel like to have my peace, keep that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Call me when you got some other positive stuff going on. Call me when you're working on something and you need a suggestion. Call me when you want to try something new or you need a vent, but don't call me on some like repeated drama stuff because I just don't want to hear it.
Well, the thing is, people like that don't have healthy habits. So they're not going to call you for anything because they don't have healthy habits. They're literally going to be like, hey, I'm only calling when I want to complain about this worthless nigga that I keep cheating with and sleeping with. They're not going to ever call you and be like, hey, I got a new business venture. You think this is smart? I want to invest my money here. People like that don't have that kind of shit going on because they're only obsessed with stupid shit and drama and toxicity.
Right.
I've never had a friend who had those type of relationships, but then was also asking me for sound financial advice or doing anything that was responsible. I've never had a nigga or a woman that did both. That's just, they don't exist. I don't know anybody who does good business and then constantly is always in a fucked up relationship. That doesn't mean that you can't survive and make money, but I never found anybody that literally is asking for sound advice financially, but continues to go around fucking up their life with their romantic relationships. I've never seen the two like intertwine as one individual because they just don't. Like, those type of people don't seem to exist to care about both at once. If you have sound mind and you think about things and plan, then you wouldn't do the opposite in your love life.
Because you don't have time. And people who prioritize, they understand that time is money.
Yeah, so exactly.
If they're making time for a person, it's definitely going to be a person of value because they got going on. And people who actually are out here building something for later on in life, most of the time they don't know what else is going on other than what's in their little world.
Exactly. And it's always drama. It's always drama for them. And besides the fact that their man that they're dating is a piece of shit, then they're having drama with the women outside of their life too that they're beefing with. So it's all, I only focus on drama. I'm not focused on making any real money. And this is what I like to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. You got a message. Who is it?
Message.
Dungeon. What's going on, brother? And Assange. Hi, Shan.
Hey.
I'm getting nervous here. Let me get off talking to Shan. I'm getting a little flustered.
It'd be all right, bro.
Don't be nervous. What else? People who anger easily. I don't even like.
Hey guys, thank you so much for checking out this podcast. This is one of many podcasts that I do. So when you support this podcast, you are supporting options that I can do with the other shows. If you're not aware, I have Cozy Moon Podcast. I have Creator Podcast. Loudmouth Stereo was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. She Gets It Pod was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. So What Pays Me on Bit is a book club podcast. We have The Real Relationship Report that I do with Dungeon on Stereo app bi-weekly. And then there is the one and only Wear It Right with Shan, which is my podcast where I talk about fashion and style. So when you support one, you support all. If you would like to donate to any of these shows, you can. The link is in the show notes, and I do appreciate it. It does give me other opportunities to do other things. And also, please support the website. Visit often, because there's a blog on there called Thick Grits and Pods, where I upload my thoughts and things that help podcasters and creators and just keeping us where we need to be in our minds and in life. ShanBePodden.com is the website. You can also find all of my books on that website and all of the shops to go ahead and purchase merch if you like wearing what you support. And I appreciate you. Now back to the show.
The older I get, the more I'm uncomfortable around people who get angry easily in public.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I know what type of economy we in, and I know people outside on some, let me drink so I can really forget about what my life is really like. Or let me do this so I can really forget about what my life is really like. Even to the point where before I honk my horn in traffic, I think about it.
Yeah, well, down there, because everybody can carry, is different than it was up here, where if you got a gun in traffic, you was looking for trouble.
In Jersey and New York, people still carry when they're not supposed to.
They do, but not nearly as often. The chance of me honking at somebody and then putting a gun on me is 50 times less than down where you live. Because you know the gun laws up here ain't no joke. And everybody knows it up here ain't no joke. So, like, the people who do carry either have a license and are just risking shit, or they just out here buck wild as fuck and just hoping to go to jail anyway. So,
You really have to watch people out here when you're just out and about and moving around. And I'm the type of person where I don't want anybody in my immediate circle that's just like easily to get angry, easily to act a fool at a restaurant, because it gets embarrassing.
Yeah.
You just can't be 30s just acting just crazy around people. And I don't know. I kind of limit myself. The older I get, like, if you see me out with people, you know, like, we're really close.
Yeah.
I'm not really outside like that. I probably go out for maybe a 30th birthday, a 40th birthday, an anniversary, an engagement party. But, I'm just very mindful of who's there and what energy I'm getting from the table. And are they here because they really want to celebrate with this person? Or are they here to be like, oh yeah, I went and I did this, and this, and I saw this person. And I'm just like, that's just nasty energy.
And I took pictures.
No, that ain't for me. We got another message.
Mm-mm. Where y'all at? Talking about these violent crime and crazy people. Now come on down to the country. We don't have that problem. North Carolina.
Oh, he in North Carolina. I'm in Georgia.
I'm in the city, so I'm up in here in Newark, right outside of Newark, in a city called Lyndhurst. When I'm close enough to New York City to know all the boroughs, dated a woman from the city. for multiple years. Like, I know whatever. I know everything. I've been up here for 30 plus years. I'm like, what? Where? How long am I? I'm on 34 years now up here.
You think you're going to stay up there when you get older?
Nah, I definitely leaving there. I'll do buy a house up here and then sell that shit by the time I'm in my late 60s and get the fuck up out of here. I'm not retiring here. Not at all. Mm-hmm. No retiring here at all. No plans whatsoever. I might retire in California because I'll be used to spending the money. So as long as California is still connected to the United States at that point.
I feel like California is a hot version of New York.
It is, exactly. But a lot of people there do the phony shit way harder than they do out here. You know, everybody out here claims to be the realest person alive.
The phony shit and cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heavy cocaine usage and phoniness out in California. Unless you find somebody who's in between and smokes weed and they keep it real with you. You know what I mean?
Rare. Anything else about unhealthy attachments? I don't think I'm.
As far as unhealthy attachments go, you know, y'all know what y'all doing when you're dealing with them. The male and female side, you know, there's abusive relationships in both ends of the spectrum. Just depending upon what you're willing to tolerate and keep going with. You know, there's men who have women who are ratchet and fucking loud and and abuse them in front of their friends or try to dominate them in ways that they think is just cute or funny, and they're being, you know, disrespected the whole time. And there's women that do a version of that, you know, overly masculine, you know, and, you know, or men that do the, you know, that do that as well. Like, go, you know, physically abusive, narcissistic, manipulative, whatever, you know, and verbally abusive, whatever they're doing. So, you know, you pick your poison because y'all all like this stuff. You know, there's all, because I feel like y'all think just because sometimes the sex is good with toxic people, then that means the relationship is good, and that's what's confusing you. I know the best sex of my life was with somebody who was cheating on their ex. And the sex was excellent, but I feel like it was excellent because we both knew that what she was doing was terrible, and I knew that I was risking my life by pounding her ass out. But I didn't care because I was like, yo, I'm young. If this nigga come home, I'll fight him, even though he looked like LL Cool J in his prime. And I was like, yo, I might fight him, but I may lose this fight. Who knows? But, you know, like, that's, people still with that type of shit. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I don't want the drama, don't want any physical altercations. I'm like Mike Tyson without the $20 million offer.
Without you know, the
cheeks. without my ass cheeks up. You know what I mean? I'm just like, hey. I just want to live. I don't want any problems. And I don't want to have to fight any white boys for money. You know what I mean? And have the worst fight of all time on Netflix. I don't want that.
Great.
Fight was pathetic.
Yeah. I feel like he lost that for money, but let me mind my business.
I will explain everybody very quickly what happened. That was a setup fight. He is not that bad at boxing. He clearly showed you what he could do and all the training he was doing up until the week of the fight. Then when they hugged each other at the end, Jake Paul was like, we just robbed these motherfuckers, brother. And he was like, I know, thank you. I just put $20,000 in my in my account. Like, which of you in this audience wouldn't take $20 million to let a white boy stand there and pretend he could box? Come on. We know Mike Tyson ain't that pathetic. He was acting like he was some rotting old man getting pummeled by a fake athletic white boy. He is not that bad, even at 58. Oh, he's 58. Look at Shannon Sharp. That nigga 55. These niggas are built different now. It's just like the women from the our year in the 80s that were born, how they look in their 40s. These bitches look like they in their 20s. These niggas, the age gap is different now. This is not 1990s 58. 58 now, these niggas be out here in the gym. They be running, they be training, they be fucking.
I mean, it depends.
What you talking about?
It depends on where you're at.
Well, Mike Tyson is an ex-professional athlete. So he still can do it. Like, it ain't, we're not talking about the everyday human. We're talking about Mike Tyson. A nigga who did it at the highest level and used to kill niggas. Now all of a sudden we think because he's 30 years older, he forgot how to do all of that? No. That nigga still got it, but I'm not hating on anybody. It didn't count against his professional record. And I'm not hating on anybody who takes $20 million to spend, what, 8 minutes in a ring with some internet idiot who loves you so much that he thought the likes would be worth this money? I'm cool with it. I'd have done the same shit. Please believe. What you talking about? That's $20 million for free for 8 minutes. Floyd Mayweather did that at a professional level with Pacquiao. And McGregor. Well, sorry, more so McGregor. McGregor was a joke, and he made like $300 million in one night off of that. That's crazy. And McGregor got like $140 million. Imagine those numbers. You ask me, would you do it? Yes. And that counted against their professional records. But I still would have done it.
It's stupid.
Yeah, you wildin', please. And I know, I understand what Tyson did. He's not frail and about to die. He had to do what he had to do to get $20 million easily. And I respect him for that. Stop thinking that that was a real fucking fight. And he better never try and do it again because it was trash.
Let me play these messages.
Shout out to the panel. Shout out to the listeners. That fight was a distraction. It was fake. Why did Tyson come in the ring with a knee bracelet? What was that? I mean, when he slapped the guy in the face, he didn't look like he was limping when he walked up to him. So,
exactly.
I think they told that man to lose out of the game, recognized game. What I mean by that, it was a fake fight. But I knew that the clear person was going to win.
The clear person.
Out of the game, recognized. It's kind of like wrestling, you know, it's fake too, so.
I hate wrestling. When I found out wrestling was fake, I'm just like, don't nobody want to watch a soap opera fight?
No, here's what y'all not getting. This isn't, boxing's different. This is contractual. Floyd Mayweather's doing it now. You hire somebody to lose to you because of all the money you stand to make by having to fight. Them niggas in Asia that keep fighting him that we don't know are paying him hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. Do you know why? Because they're saying they got to fight Floyd Mayweather. In the contract, it will tell them they cannot win the fight. It's just like the McGregor thing. McGregor never had a chance against Floyd Mayweather because he told him, hey, we're doing this because I'm the show and I'm going to pay you to lose to me, but because we stand to make so much money by having this fight, you're just going to have to lose. It's in the contract. This is not happenstance, people. Mike Tyson didn't have to decide shit. When Jake Paul came to him with the contract, he said, you're going to lose the fight, but it doesn't matter because it's not against your professional record. And on top of that, I'm giving you $20 million to stand in the ring with me for 8 minutes. Which one of you wouldn't take that option? I don't give a fuck about that shit. It was free money. Like, I need y'all to stop thinking like there was more to it than what it was. It wasn't shit, but an agreement between two people who signed contracts and they kept the agreement. And what y'all saw was pathetic. That's it. That agreement had been made months before.
It sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I let them come to me with that offer. I'll do it. Come to me and be like, yo, come stand and ring me for 15,000. Let me play around. I'm like, yeah, we good. Give me my money. I'm good.
Oh, man.
A lot of people don't know this, but Vermont. Yes, Vermont, of many places. They're offering a lot of incentives for people to come up there and live and work. So check it out. I was up there probably about 5-6 years ago. Beautiful place. Clean air, people in shape. Look into it.
I can believe that. I can believe it.
They got a good school system.
Yeah, that's why. That's where Bernie Sanders come from. Be ripping that shit. And be telling the truth all the time. Every time something happens in this country, they show a video of Bernie Sanders saying some shit from 15 years ago. He's like, I told you this was going to happen. And I'm like, yo, y'all need to stop listening to this crazy white man. Like, he be knowing. He knows what the white people up to. He say it all the time in all his videos.
No, I think that was an embarrassment, you know, having to hold back your inherent genetics, you know, just for a bag. I think we need to manage our money better so when we get to that age of your elder statesmen, you know, we can teach the next generation coming up and not have to put up these minstrel shows, you know, just for a little bit of money. I thought it was ridiculous. No, I wouldn't take that money. I'm positioning myself so I don't have to put myself in the situation where I have to do those infantile games. I think we've seen this before with Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah, him and Shaq did it. But like I said, it literally is. It was a setup. Like, yeah, and we all know Mike Tyson fucked away his first round of money, but I ain't mad at him for doing a second round and getting his paper. You know, he doesn't, he was robbed blind by his nappy headed manager, Don King. Can somebody look up? Is Don King still alive? Because I think he is.
Which is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous that nigga's still alive. But, like, he was robbed blind by him and had his own mental issues. So I'm never hating on somebody who's getting a second chance at coming back at life and doing what they do. I just wish he'd pick better things to do, such as his weed business and, you know, documentaries. I don't give a damn to see you do, you know, fake sparring with white boys who want to be famous on the internet for $20 million. I don't care for that.
Oh, my God. Okay, we'll play these last three.
I know, because I have seen Mayweather get hit one time. He had to grab onto the rope. And he was like, that was not part of the contract.
Yeah, Miguel Cotto.
Oh, that shit is fake.
Yeah, you talking about the Miguel Cotto fight. Miguel Cotto fight. He forgot. I don't know
who to pick, but yeah, game recognized game. That clear person. Because at the end of the fight, if y'all saw the end of it, he said, I was afraid of him. I was afraid. He said he was afraid of Tyson. And then he said, but I want to say that I love the guy because his family is close to my family. And, you know, he's like a brother to me. And I'm just like, the fuck is this shit? You just said, how did you win the fight when you just said you was afraid of him the whole goddamn time? Clear person.
Because it was prearranged.
Oh, good.
Hey, man, it sounds, I heard about that. They got the dogs up there, too. They got abs. Nobody fat in that area.
He said the dogs got abs.
Yeah, he had to win that $20 million because he was tired of training them goddamn pigeons that were shitting all over him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Mike Tyson is funny, though. Every once in a while, I'll catch his podcast. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's a cool little dude.
But anywho, I would say the best way to avoid unhealthy attachments is to do your work. Like, if you dealt with somebody that was not your cup of tea, figure out what it is that you don't want. I think, or spend enough time by yourself. That way, when you do recognize something that you do like, it's a lot easier to digest. I don't think it makes sense for one person to want something good. I think it's way better if two people want something good, just to balance your life out so you can have some peace of mind. Because the older I get, I'm just like, whatever is peaceful, that's what I'm with. Whatever is like drama related, I cut that off really quick. So I'll get really quiet really quick if it's just like, nah, that requires too much of my energy. for no reason. Notice when people are not worthy of your time or certain things that you don't want to continue, address that directly and be honest with people, even if that means you might lose how a person is positioned in your life or you might lose how a friend is positioned in your life. I'd rather be honest with you and give you that choice. And I don't know, find somebody that has the same idea sort of what you're going for and just mesh that way instead of going towards someone who's on a whole nother block of life and you trying to get them to follow you to the next side. And it's a lot easier for somebody who's already on the same path that you are. And this whole idea that people have that you just grow up and you get older and you're not supposed to change, I think that's redundant, because at a certain point in life, you're raised a certain way by who helped raise you, and then you have to unlearn some shit that's not working. And once you unlearn some things that are not working, that did not work for your parents or didn't work for your grandparents or are not working for your friends, then you figure out what works for you, what's best for you, and then you just do that.
I feel like what you're talking about is evolution. The whole thing is we're not all meant to evolve. You know, there's going to be some of you who, as I've been saying for the longest, will be left behind because you all can't go. And we're not going to try to figure you out. We're not going to try and bring you along. If you're just going to sit there and be ignorant and keep fucking up, we'll just leave you. And it's okay. They didn't all come the first time. Everybody didn't make it on the Noah's Ark. All the dinosaurs didn't escape the fucking meteor shower or whatever happened. I guess most of them didn't escape that. But we have no problem leaving you dummies behind. Trust us. We good. Some of us have figured things out and, like, this is how you progress in life. There's others of you that just like staying right where you're at. Ignorant, broke, project. Stay there. Nobody needs you to come along. We're fine.
I mean, we do need an example. I mean, somebody got to be stupid. So we know
we have examples of stupid people within the people who've transitioned. That's what I'm talking about. We just don't need the people who are stubborn and staying. We don't have to pull you out. There are going to be people with us that were them. They were like, yeah, I used to be like that dumb motherfucker. But there was a point where I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I want to change. I want to do better. I don't want to just blame the white man for everything and never change my life. I want to do what I can do and be a better person. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
I don't know. At a certain point, I feel like you choose to allow somebody to dictate your life or your relationship or your friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about it before. I feel like some of my brothers choose to have certain women dictate what they do.
Uh-huh.
For what benefit? That's kind of none of my business. I mean, obviously they love it. But a lot of times I'll have a conversation with them about my nieces or my nephews, and I'm just like, you know, you ain't got to live like that, right? I know, but, you know, that's just what I'm doing. I'm just like, okay. So I feel like that too, as a, there's some, my version of being tired of something might not be my brother's version. You know, everybody has their own time when they're tired of something or tired of being treated a certain way or dealing with certain stuff.
Yeah.
I would say that people do evolve in their relationships. Like, you'll see, okay, the first one was like this. The second one was less crazy. This other one is kind of mellow. And you just see, like, their tolerance for shit gets a little bit less. And some of them, the tolerance doesn't get less. It's just, like, what they like. Some people can function in peace. Some people have to have drama. They have to have, like, rah-rah energy all the time. It has to be a problem.
Yeah.
It has to be met with some type of conflict because they don't know how to find something to do in a status of just having peace and there's no problems here. You don't have to create problems to find something to do on your to-do list. And I think when you see people like that, then you need to ask another question. Like, what is it that you're avoiding when your mind is quiet? Because some people, when their mind gets quiet, they can't stand it. It has to be some type of just bullshit going on all the time. And I've seen my cousins do it. And then you recognize it in kids where when the house is really mellow and stuff, they just start creating chaos because they're used to chaos. They're not used to peace. And so it's very important, I would say, for people to travel and get out of their space.
Mm-hmm.
And stop thinking like where you live is what life is. I think people who do travel, people who do have different ethnicities as friends and people they talk to, they're a lot more mellow because you understand that your shit is not the shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's things to life. There's other things you could do. There's other possibilities for you. But you have to elevate yourself out of certain spaces and certain people. But I think a lie that we tell ourselves a lot is that we don't have to do our work. We just have to find somebody new to deal with the bullshit. And technically, you can keep finding somebody new to deal with your shit, but eventually, that also will expire. So to me, once you get to a point where you want to deal with your shit, I feel like you'll be better off just mentally, and then everything else will flow how it's supposed to flow for you.
Yeah.
But we have two more messages. Let me see what they are.
Yeah, no sugarcoating. Just be upfront, straightforward. Like, if your best friend, how many of your friends ever told you you had a booger in your nose? How many of your friends never told you you had a booger in your nose and you was talking to other people or greens in your teeth? I like people that tell me, hey, man, you got a booger in your nose. I'm like, oh, for real? Oh, thank you, folks. Thank you for telling me that. You know what I'm saying? Or I got greens in my teeth. That's how you know you got a true friend. Even strangers will tell you that. Strangers will tell you you got a booger. You got a big-ass booger in your nose. You know that, right? I'm like, for real? We ain't even friends and you told me that?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds crazy, but so, like, for me, public, I don't have to know you to be like, oh, your bag is open. And if I feel like you can't reach it or your hands is full, I'll close it. I don't need to watch somebody, oh, he about to trip over his shoe or she about to drop this. I'd rather walk up to you and help you than to watch what I know is going to happen.
Yeah.
But some people, oh, selfish minded and individualistic about how they think about things, that they're just like, oh, that's none of my business. Oh, fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. I can't watch you do something stupid. And I tell people all the time, like, if I'm watching something and something embarrassing is about to happen, I get secondhand embarrassment. So I would rather look away or fast forward it if that's an option, than to sit there and just watch them fall on their face.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the type of person I am about shit.
Yeah, those who are left behind, they wear Adidas because they lose stripes.
Oh, God.
And those who gonna make it, they wear New Balance. Walk with a New Balance.
Here. How do we get here? But yeah. That's my thoughts on that.
Nah, I feel it. That's I mean, these attachments that we're talking about, y'all gotta get better, man. Like, we're still, what I always say about how we're evolving, like, it's been, we're centuries, decades in, and y'all still doing the same shit that you know is gonna lead to failure. Mm. Women still dating men thinking that they can change them. Men still being broke thinking that they can live off a woman. Like, y'all are all looking for temporary fixes. Nobody wants longevity.
Mm.
Everybody wants temporary fun. I could date bitches that accept my brokenness for 6 months at a time or a year at a time. But when you broke at 60, who's going to love you? There will not be any Social Security for your broke ass. Please understand that. That ain't going to be around when you get broke. You're going to be legit California broke at 60, bro. Like, you niggas ain't going to have shit. You're going to be living on the street. You're going to be able to live in a home or a project building. You're going to be living on the street because you have no income. Because what this government's about to do within the next few terms? Please. But y'all think this shit's a game, though.
Living on the street for most states is not, it's not an option anymore.
Yeah. I mean, unless you move to California, but how are you going to get there? You going to walk? Spirit, I don't know. Is Spirit allowed to fly into California? I think Spirit only takes flights to Haiti at this point. That's it. See, get rid of you niggas. They fly out to Haiti and be like, yo, they shoot at our plane and we fly back to Florida. That's it. That's all they do. And you can't go anywhere else on Spirit besides here from wherever you're at to Haiti. And that's it. They're not bringing you niggas anywhere, man. But it's all right. Y'all keep doing the same stupid shit, man. You be 60 and broke, 60 and lonely. We're not even going to get to 70. By then, if you think you're still going to be able to be in the club or think somebody's going to find your ass attractive besides somebody in your age bracket, and the people that are doing this are all so stupid at this point, so what do you think is going to happen? Get your shit together, man.
I think it's easier not to get your shit together than it is to get your shit together.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. But we're trying to encourage them so they don't end up being, you know, 60 and alone. Mm-hmm. Or 60 and broke. Because I know y'all think it's a joke right now. But that shit's not that far away for you people in your 30s and 40s. If you're in your 40s, it's just 20 years away. Think about how quickly 20 years passed. You're not in school no more. So shit gonna go fast. You're working at Chipotle or wherever it is that you work at.
Chipotle,
Toys R Us, The Wiz, I don't know, whatever pays you $15 an hour you think is good enough to live life off of. And, you know, pretty soon you'll be 60 with no retirement plan, still out here talking that shit and doing the same shit you're doing. Yo, mama, what's up? Mm-hmm. What's good, daddy? Yeah, I'm 65. I need somebody to take care of me now because my dick don't even work the way it used to. Mm. But trust me, there will still be a woman out there that thinks she can change you at 65 as well. You know, maybe y'all will be all right. Maybe I'm wrong. There's still going to be a bunch of you idiots out there running around at 65 doing the same shit. So never mind.
Every generation has a sucker.
not a sucker, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So now I see why my words don't put any fear in y'all heart. There's a group of you idiots running around just dealing with each other, and y'all have made a pact to continue to do this until you go back into the grave. So, you know, maybe we're wasting our time, Shan. I don't know. Might be wasting our time on this. Beating the dead horse.
People with common sense, do what you need to do.
There you go. Don't
sense, continue to be an example. That's it.
There you go. Sorry. People with common sense, there you go. That's who we're talking to.
Yeah. Got one more message and then we could get out of here.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we have to solve create problems. We can't operate unless we create a problem. It's like problem, reaction, solution. You create the problem, the other party reacts to it, and then you provide the solution. Little did they know that you created the problem to start. That comes from previous trauma, family trauma. I think we need to learn how to heal better. We need to take time out to heal. We need to work on our physical health. And yes, we do need to travel. And that's just a start. But a great point.
Facts.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if you ain't get here at the beginning, this is the Real Relationship Rapport podcast. And I will have this up probably by Monday on the podcast app. If you want to listen to the audio, we will be back in December.
I'll give you. We got the holidays coming up next week. Yeah, we got.
I want to do a show with a panel.
Let's get them. I'm ready to yell at some random people that don't know me. Yeah.
And figure out what the topic should be.
What's on your list for Thanksgiving? Because we're hosting in my the lounge area of my building. Mm-hmm. Me and one of the females upstairs. She's like, "Yeah, I need you to make your baked mac and some other stuff." I was like, "I got you."
Oh. But I'm trying to. My mom wants to do maybe rice and peas because I don't like cooking that because you gotta soak the peas overnight and then you gotta do the rice a certain way.
Oh, the black eyed peas.
I mean, it's kind of similar, but you still gotta soak the peas. And then I need to go to the farmer's market and get oxtail. All the like side stuff, and then the cream cheese for the cheesecake.
Can we agree that calling peas black eyed peas is racist?
I mean, to be honest, I could count the amount of times I've had black eyed peas.
They're good if you make them right.
Why is it racist?
Because I feel like it was named after niggas in some way, shape, or form. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, who looked at them was like, these is black-eyed peas. Black-eyed? They could have been like, yo, you want some of these brown peas? But somehow like, these are black-eyed nigger peas. And then they took the nigger out.
Black-eyed nigga beat is crazy.
But. Yeah, I know it is, but I know that's how it was probably initially said, and then somebody was like, don't call it that or people won't eat it. Just call it black-eyed peas. And he's like, you sure? Because I love black-eyed nigger peas. It sounds great. And somebody was like, don't do this. Listen, racism got to chill at some point. We're talking about food at this point. And then they're like, all right, let's call them black-eyed peas then.
Irritated that other ethnicities who have benefited off of racism want racism to stop. Y'all started it.
Most certainly did. But we're gonna, you know, just the way they changed Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben changed black eyed peas to just brown peas or some shit like that.
Brown peas.
Hey, y'all want some of these brown peas? They're no longer black-eyed. And then you can sell them in Whole Foods.
Oh, God.
I don't think I've ever seen black-eyed peas in Whole Foods. And they're simply waiting for the racism to be removed.
I'm going to ask my mom, has she ever cooked that for us?
It's good. When you make it right, boy, it's delicious.
Black-eyed peas. That's crazy. But anyway, you got anything else left?
Well, just stop buying black eyed peas till they change the name. Other than that.
I hope y'all have a good Thanksgiving. And if you go to someone's house, do not go empty handed like you ain't got no sense.
Yeah. Bring a bottle or something. What's wrong with y'all, man? It's coming over. Don't come over here with the aluminum foil and your paper plates. You ain't even got the good plates.
I'm aware. Don't be that person.
Yeah. Oh, let me take half the tray of Big Mac home. No! You eat what's here and then you go home. To take all that food home with you. Spend all this damn money.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I got an oldest brother that's like that.
We all got a family member. A family member or two that's like that. We all got them.
Just too grown to be so crazy. And you break with nothing.
Nah, because it's not even just the family members. It's these couples that become in. We're broke-ass people or broke-ass couples. Doing the same thing. Hey, my man is so hated by his family that he had to come to our Thanksgiving, and I just met this nigga a week ago. Red flag, people. If the new person you're dating is immediately trying to spend Thanksgiving with you, red flag. There is no excuse in the world. If y'all ain't been dating for years or 6 months at least, where you've agreed to go to each other's house or something for Thanksgiving, where somebody knew you were dating should need to spend Thanksgiving with you. If they do, it is a major red flag. That means nobody loves them, and they don't want them around.
And neither one of y'all could cook.
And that's probably why they trying to come to your shit. Yo, I need somewhere to eat, so I'm pretend dating you. Those Thanksgiving packages that they be writing on IG, those ain't jokes. It's real for some of y'all. Some of y'all need that person to bring with you. Because your family so knows that you're so undateable. Facts. Facts be like Max B.
Oh, man. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we'll catch y'all on the flip side, man.
Bye.
Peace.